secrets buried never sleep. Every whisper, every confession, welcome to Sinister Submission.
You can almost see it.
Almost. It's big dreaming. One day.
Maybe.
They'll fund our habit.
And they'll get the hint.
Stella Rosa, sponsor us. Look, to do these stories, not so much the ghostly ones, but the true crime, you have to have wine. I'm pretty sure it's mandatory. I'm pretty sure in the podcast handbook, it literally says if you're going to do a true crime podcast, you have to have at least one glass of wine. And I'm almost on two, so.
Where's this handbook at? I'm curious.
You didn't get that handbook?
No.
Well.
You forgot to hand that out on orientation.
My bad. I guess take it up with HR.
I am currently.
Oh, my bad. Well, welcome to Guilty and the Ghostly. We are back. Again, things have changed. I know the lighting's not great. We're still trying to figure everything out. So if you see us looking to the side, we're checking cameras, checking angles. We're going to get some more lighting in here. Make it look a little bit better, but so far I like it.
We hope it'll look better.
Yeah. So before, when Josh and I would record, we couldn't really look at each other unless we literally sat sideways, and we did not like that at all. So, work with us. We're trying. And if you're listening now, you've heard our new Sinister Submissions theme song that Eric hooked us up with. So, I need to check with him and see if he wants me to post his little handle in our notes. But if you're interested, it may or may not be there, depending on if he wants to or not. But it's the last Monday of July, so what does that mean?
It's time for Sinister Submissions.
Sinister Submissions. And I've got some good ones. So I did a theme this week. We are doing work-related stories. Did you find any? You said you might. I doubt it.
I didn't really find any, no.
Did you look?
No, my day was kind of filled with...
That's what I figured. Some
stuff, so. I didn't really get a chance to.
I got you. All those Facebook reels kept you busy?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to read the first story?
No.
You want me to read the first story?
I don't know what's the first story.
Whichever one we decide to go with.
You didn't tell me if I was going first or if you were going first.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Well, my first story is kind of short.
Yeah, short and
like
sweet.
Super short.
Yeah. So the one that you got, your first story, I made a post in a Facebook group and that guy sent it. So let's go ahead and start with the short one. Okay, short and sweet.
We can start with that. So from Facebook, we got an anonymous story.
I don't know if he wanted to remain anonymous, but he did not say to use his name. So.
Well, that's okay.
We're going to stay anonymous.
We'll keep it anonymous just for...
Mysterious.
Just because. So, his story goes, I worked in a psychiatric hospital. First of all, that first line is enough for me.
Automatically, spooky vibes.
Yeah. I mean, automatically you go to any kind of psychiatric hospital. There's always an energy about it.
Hospitals, nursing homes, and psychiatric hospitals 100% give a different vibe, like a different energy, like you're saying. It just feels different when you walk in through those doors.
Right. Yeah. And trust me, I get it. I go to one every day. Luckily, I don't get to go to the areas where anything bad happens.
Yeah.
So, although I do get to see some pretty crazy things.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that. So, it says, I worked in a psychiatric hospital that was built over an old potter's field. Years later, they found out not all the bodies had been moved. Wow.
So I've actually have found a couple of stories about Potter's Field, and I am absolutely fascinated by Potter Fields. And one of these days, I'm going to do a story over it.
Oh, we should have done like a shallow dive into this.
We've got a lot of stories tonight, but okay. Stay tuned.
I'm curious. So anyway, while I worked there, apparently they were found while he worked there. An old woman patient would say that the people from downstairs are angry. There was no basement. People reported seeing ghosts and hearing footsteps was a very common occurrence. When a new building was put in, human remains were found.
See, and to me, it's how do you not know human remains are there after something that had already been built there?
I have no idea, but you hear about it all the time.
All the time. And they've got to be disturbed. And then you add the energy of the psychiatric patient or psychiatric hospital on top of that, and it's like a vortex of energy. I could only imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. And then with all the spirits and stuff that were already there that are now just kind of
chilling.
I don't know. That would create a very strange environment.
It would, for sure. Well, I've got a story. So this is from Corky, but it's not our Corky. It's a different Corky that I think I came across her TikTok, and she was telling spooky stories about what she did. And so she sent me her own story so that we can share. So shout out Corky. Crap, I forgot to look up her TikTok handle. So look right here and I will post it so that you can see it and put it in the show notes.
Wow.
I know. I would look, but it's on my phone and we're using my phone. So. I'm sorry. Okay. So she said, I was in the military for 10 years doing various security roles and have also worked in private sector, but nothing prepared me for the location I was hired on to. For starters, the hiring associate said it was a hospital and very much made it seem like I would be doing hospital security. The uniform they gave me determined that was a lie. And then she put in quotes, in my best Maury voice, which you get that because you watch a lot of Maury.
I don't watch Maury, but I watched a little with Dad.
Yeah, Steve Wilkos.
Steve Wilkos is my guy.
She says, found out it was an abandoned hospital that used to be a TB sanitarium, and it was repurposed as something else.
Oh, gosh. This has already got crazy vibes to it.
My first night training was with another security officer at another abandoned location, and it was going okay. I didn't really need much training because ya girl has done did the thing before. I really just needed the deets on what we'd be doing at all the sites. While chatting it up after 3 a.m., the electronics started going crazy. He is visually distressed, but not me. For you see, I don't rattle easy. I mean, my last contract was in the projects of a rough neighborhood, so a little malfunction doesn't bother me. Once I finally figured out what machine was going crazy, all was fine, and I looked at him like he was being ridiculous. Just as I went to sit back down, a different machine started popping off. And well, that small occurrence led us down a rabbit hole into the basement.
Mm.
BTW, this grown man busted out a spirit box and I said, fuck it, let's do this. So she's all in, she's ready. He set it up and the spirit called me thick. That's a compliment. If they're calling you thick from beyond the grave, yeah. You know you're a badass. I said, oh, thank you, good sir. But how many C's? And it responded, 3. So spirit was feeling her. Sounds like a good time, right? It was spooky, but I did not get a bad feeling. Just immaculate vibes. Fast forward to my next night at the main location. Upon arriving, I was relieving the guard so that she could leave. And she dead ass says, you don't have to go in there if you don't want to. Men come here to work one shift and quit. Or they show up and see what it is and bounce. So I'm just saying. I told her, thanks, disregarded her warning, and went in anyways because it's my job. And in this economy, I ain't letting this foolishness ruin my bag. My friends, as soon as I walked in that building, all the hairs stood up on my arm and I got this cold chill. I felt disgusting. A repulsive feeling, but my brain said, you're fine, and so I continued on. Another girl shows up because they accidentally double booked the site, and I said, cool, I won't be alone, so this is fine. Part of our job is roaming the halls, so I decided to explore because I've never been in this building. As I'm walking down a completely dark hallway, my body starts doing the thing. The hairs, the cold, and the feeling of absolute disgust. I felt it in my spine, like something was trying to crawl in my skin. Yeah, I still don't know how to explain it. Right after that happens, I hear a voice telling me to run. The scream I scrumped, you guys, I ran back to the girl I was on post with, and she asked if I was okay. I was not. I told her, and she said, yeah, that's crazy. I knew she thought I was being a weirdo because I wouldn't have believed me either. Which, if you haven't experienced anything and you have this girl coming in being like, yeah, I have this feeling. I just have this feeling. It would be kind of okay, like kind of side-eyeing them like, you okay over there?
Yeah, no kidding.
As we're walking down the hallway, I get that feeling again and decide to take some time in a decently lit room just to get my life together. We're sitting together and I decided to pull out one of those fun spirit apps because I apparently have no sense or self-preservation. This thing starts talking and pretending to be my dead dad, y'all. I felt like something followed me the rest of the night. I went home at end of shift and just felt disgusting all week. I was getting nauseous just thinking about going back. I'd wake up at 3 a.m. like the trash panda I am to get some snackies and would have to sprint up the stairs like a child scared because it felt like something followed me home. The day came to go back, but this time, I'm not messing around. I wore my spiritual jewelry because, you know, whatever it was didn't feel ghostly. I'm with another person this time, and he's only experiencing the weird when I'm around. He tells me the lights turning on by themselves and the voices only happen when you're in the room. When you go on patrols, they stop. She said, that's just amazing. I love that for us.
Wow.
So we decided to do a patrol together and something calls out, Mandy. I looked at him and I say, what the fuck did it just say? It said Mandy. Why? Who's Mandy? I look him dead in the face and show him the tattoo on my arm that says Mandy and explain that it's my dead sister's name. But I'm fine. This is fine. So anyways, I leave that night telling whatever the thing is that it has to stay its ass there and it's not allowed to follow me home. Which I think worked because I don't feel like I'm being stalked in my own house. Although, worth mentioning, since I wore my religious symbol, I was still getting the hairs and chills, but I just didn't get that disgusting feeling. It's what I imagine it feels like before you're struck by lightning. I go back the next day because, you know, groceries are expensive. I'm with the girl I worked my first night there, and this time it harassed her and was calling out her dead grandmother's name. So now she's on board with me. We start doing patrols, and we hear a banging down that creepy hallway where something told me to run. We decide to investigate because it could be a squatter or something. As we're walking down the hallway, her flashlight starts to flicker, and I know it's not just a malfunction because mine did the same thing my first night there. After lurking around, we saw nothing, and as we walk away, her flashlight is fine. But something back there was messing with us.
It was messing around.
But something back there was messing with us because another bang, this thing was making us walk back and forth multiple times. But the creepiest part was the mysterious red phone that rang a little after 3 a.m. The phones are all disconnected. We heard it ringing from another room. Her and I both decided it was none of our business.
Hell no, it's not.
Nope. That's, again, horror movie. A red phone. Have y'all seen Black Phone? Have you seen the Black Phone?
Look, this is a great story.
Yeah, she's a writer. She does really good. Again, find her on TikTok. Like I said, I'll post it in the show notes. And then I may shout it out on the next episode because my phone's being used to record right now. So I cannot look it up. I think it's actually Corkster on TikTok, but I'll throw it in the show notes so y'all can go find her. She has all kinds of spooky stories of her doing these late night patrols, and it's very interesting. So
wow.
Go check her out.
Was that the end?
That was the end.
Oh, good.
Cliffhanger.
I'm glad I didn't cut that off. That was a really good story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Creepy.
Yeah.
And walking around alone at night, mm-hmm. It's an abandoned place. You're supposed to be the only one there,
mm-hmm.
and you hear noises. You're like, okay, yeah, it could be an unhoused person or
animal. Your mind is immediately going to try to dismiss that because you don't want to scare yourself.
Yeah.
But eventually you will.
Eventually it'll happen. Thank you. Appreciate the story.
Thank you very much.
It's a good
story.
Send us more.
We need to visit some more places like that.
We for sure do. What you got? Remember, we're taking turns.
Yeah. Well, we need people to suggest some places that we need to go, I think.
To go visit?
Because there's a lot of places that we could probably go around here that we just don't know about.
Or send us your stories of the places that you've visited, and then we can kind of pick where we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do a special episode or do like a little ghost hunt if we can find a place that we can do that again.
Speaking of, we're doing in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In Mineola.
Yeah. Well, that's a ghost tour.
It's
not a ghost hunt. We're going to go learn about some historical ghosties.
But they have the investigation, too. It's not
a
tour.
Well, yeah. I guess I didn't see that part.
It's because you don't read what I said.
I thought it was going to be like that one ghost thing that we did that one time.
I gotcha. No, there's actually an investigation part, too.
Oh. Well, that was still fun. The other one was fun.
Yeah.
That was actually a great time. Where were we at? North Carolina?
When I was with you,
that was Charleston.
Charleston.
Yeah. That was South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun.
Yep. I've done them in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Savannah. Savannah was my favorite.
Yeah.
We've got to go back to Savannah.
Yeah, we will.
Shout out Paul. I went with Paul on one of those.
Yeah.
And he listens.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I keep looking over there thinking that's
where camera's over there.
I'm used to it.
Guys, again,
but now my camera's on this side.
We're trying. We're trying really hard. And I keep looking at the screen instead of the camera. Minor details. We'll get it figured out.
We'll get there eventually, guys.
What you got?
So, this one comes in from Reddit. There's no name on there.
I think the remainder come from Reddit. And since I can't direct message, well, I guess I could, but I just did not put any names. So, the remainder of the stories are from Reddit.
Okay. So, story from Reddit. I work nights at an Office Depot. This was around 2002 to 2004. It was just me and one other guy. We were locked inside from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. The only way out was through the emergency exits, which would set off the alarm. It all started when we were both in the back office printing signs for the ads. I remember we were talking, joking around, when suddenly we both stopped cold. There were footsteps in the hallway leading to the office. They got all the way to the door, but there was no one there.
Nope. Turn around.
Yeah, that's...
Just leave.
That's bad news.
That's their store now.
Yep. That's bad news. That's when you know you need to quit Office Depot.
Yeah. I'm done. Here's my two-minute notice. I'm
turning in my two-day notice. I
two
quit
minute.
Two-day.
2 minutes. So how long it takes me to get to my car.
We walked out to the sales floor, and the gates were still down. Doors were locked, so some time goes by, and weirder things keep happening. Voices, shadows, and etc. Yeah, that's wild.
If the gates are down, so at that point, it's creepy if it's a ghost, but if the gates are down and you know it's locked, what if it's somebody locked in there with you? Why are they locked in there? Were they hiding? Do they have bad intentions? Like, that's scary too, either way.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's where your mind's probably going to go, being in a place like that.
Yep.
So you're thinking that there's these people that are fixing to just come around the corner and stab you with a knife or beat you with a baseball bat. Yeah, staple room.
You're in Office Depot. Get the staple remover and just like...
That would be what the Office Depot guys were using, like things that they could find.
Yeah.
What was that movie where the kids had to like come up with all that crap? Because all the kids were turning into zombies or whatever.
About the chicken nugget one?
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what the name of that movie was.
I can't remember either.
Like they all like got all this stuff that they could
defend
find
themselves.
And it was all like stuff from the coach's office and shit like that. That's hilarious. I can only imagine an Office Depot movie like that.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to write that.
Copyright.
It'd be great.
Corky. Corky and Daniel, we got our new movie idea.
The absolute weirdest was one night around 3 a.m., the store phone kept ringing and ringing. Wow, here we go. Some more phone stuff.
We've got a couple of phones.
Yeah, so it looks like we have a theme.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even mean to do that either. It's just what I was picking.
I think you had a theme that you just didn't think of.
Yeah, a double theme.
Yep. Finally, my coworker answers it.
Hello?
He listens for a few seconds and then says, "You have the wrong number," and hangs up. The phone rings again. Again, he answers and tells the caller that they have the wrong number and hangs up again. Again, the phone rings.
Don't answer it.
Yeah, at this time, why are you answering this phone? You're not open.
Yeah.
You're not open.
Yep.
Don't answer the phone.
Yep. That's not my problem.
Just let it ring. Unhook it.
I'm here for ads. I am not here to answer the phone.
That's not happening. So this time, the guy that posts this walks over and asks what's up. He answers the phone and puts it on speaker, and it's a woman. She's crying. "Why won't you talk to me? Why are you being like this?" He hangs up the phone. So, if I'm the coworker, I'm thinking this is probably somebody's significant other.
Is this your girlfriend calling? Is she mad because you're here?
Yeah. Like, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
He hangs up the phone, and immediately it starts ringing. I remember this clear as day. I told him, "Dude, she's probably just crazy. Just ignore it." He answers it and puts it on speaker. The woman yells into the phone, "I'm not crazy." And then hangs up, and she didn't call back.
So did she say, "I'm not crazy"? Was she on the phone when she yelled, "I'm not crazy"? Did she hear him say that?
It doesn't say it.
So that was before he answered
it
again.
It says, "Dude, she's probably just crazy. Ignore it." He answers it and
so
puts it on
speaker. So she heard, oh, no, no. No.
Did she hear it? Or did she hear it from beyond?
That's what I'm saying. If she didn't hear him physically say it, and she heard it through... No. Yep. I'd quit right there. I don't know what you got going on with your little ghost girlfriend, but that is not my problem.
You just have one less Office Depot employee.
Done.
And probably a dirty set of drawers.
I'm going over to Staples to see what's up over there. Hopefully they don't have any crazies.
Yeah. Yeah, Staples is where it's at, I guess.
Yeah.
No more Office Depot at this point.
That's creepy. I could not imagine. Okay, so this one is a paramedic. I love paramedic stories. I could sit on Reddit for hours reading paramedic stories. It says, "I'm a paramedic in a smallish town. We got a call from PD to do a medical assessment on a male that is in custody after trying to break into a Catholic church." Red flag number one, Catholic church. Nothing happens. Nothing good happens there.
According to movies.
Yeah. I've watched The Nun too many times.
Be easy with what you're saying. We don't want to get sued here, Audrey.
As I walked up to his line of sight, the guy greeted me by name. "I'm not from the town that I work in, and we do not wear name tags. I've never seen this guy before, and certainly have never introduced myself. The guy claimed that he was possessed by a demon, and it genuinely sounded like there were two distinct personalities and voices coming out of the guy when he spoke."
And see, that's the creepiest thing.
Terrifying.
About those possession movies. Whenever they start talking and you hear like the demon voice and then like a higher pitched voice, and it's just...
When I was researching for what is her name? Emily Rose. Annalise Michelle, I think is what her name was.
That sounds right.
And I listened to the recordings of her exorcism. I had to turn it off. In fact, I was researching at Bubba's practice and had my feet draped over the... I was sitting in the front seat, had my feet draped over to the passenger seat, and Addie and Nellie were sitting in the back seat. And she went to pull her charger, but it was like wrapped up on my leg and it felt like something grabbed my leg. I jumped so freaking high off that seat, said, nope, I'm done. I can't. I had to stop because it was dark out. Terrifying. Well, he goes on to say that he asked me very weird questions, like he wanted to know what color his eyes were. The second voice cut him off and said that those were his eyes. I'm a fairly skeptical person, but I was genuinely creeped out, and that call is kind of burned into my memory.
Yeah, I bet.
Terrifying. Which I wonder if his eyes did look different. Like, well, I guess he didn't know him, so he wouldn't know if they looked different from normal, but...
Unless they were like the...
Evil Dead burn eyes?
Yeah, like those, like the weird... chameleon-looking eyes.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I bet some paramedics have some creepy-ass stories.
Oh, I promise.
Even if it's... I mean, I know a lot of it can be mental health, but there's got to be some weird ones.
That and drug-related stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially people that do, like, PCP. Have you seen that
shit? Yeah, terrifying. So you have that. And again, if a lot of people that are on drugs or do have mental health crisis... their guards are down, and I feel like they're more susceptible to things like that.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
And so it just ramps up that.
And I think that a lot of the time, you know, especially with when if you believe in evil, I think that evil will attach itself to you and cause the problems to be even worse.
Yeah.
I really do.
Terrifying. Terrifying. It's your turn to read.
Is it?
Yeah. Am I got to remind you? Every time.
Dramatic pause, Audrey.
Oh, go for it, brother. I was sitting here reading my story like I was going to read along with you. I forgot I changed it.
Yeah. Okay, so this one comes in from Reddit as well. It says, I was working at the Cavalier Hotel.
Wait. So this is the one I was telling you about. So I was going through the Reddit threads and reading. This guy posted about his experience, and then you're going to have, it's going to say story two. You're going to read that one. So story two, seen the first guy's post of what happened to him at the Cavalier Hotel and goes, dude, I had almost the exact same thing happen.
No kidding.
This is that one I was telling you about. I can't wait for you to read this one.
Now, is it the Cavalier Hotel or the... Cavier.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking.
Are you asking me? It's caviar, okay?
Okay.
The Fish Eggs Hotel.
The Fish Egg Hotel in Virginia. I was working at the Cavalier Hotel in Virginia as we serviced their systems and plumbing. It was my first week starting in the trade and was working overtime in early December of last year. Wow, working overtime in December, especially in Virginia, I bet that's cold.
Oh, I bet so. Trying to get
really
out.
Cold.
And you're on top of a roof?
Yeah. I was working on the high roof looking out at the ocean at around 10:30 to 11 as we were pulling the charge out of a unit that we were changing the compressors in. I had nothing better to be doing. Well, I don't know about that. I could have found you something to do.
Okay, Mr. HVAC guy.
Well, look, a lot of the time whenever you go up there on those rooftop units, most of the time, people leave trash all over the place. So I would take a bag up there and I'd clean it.
Yeah.
It's because if somebody walked up there after me and seen it, guess who that looks bad on?
Yeah.
So it just made sense to clean that up.
Let's see if you would do that after seeing what this guy seen.
I may or may not.
There'd be a Josh-sized hole going out the wall.
I look behind me at the roof hatch that opens up to go into the old bell tower and saw what looked like to be a man dressed in a suit and tie. Thinking it was just one of my techs I was on the job with, I yelled out, yo, and no one answered. So I started walking towards the hatch, which was around 50 to 60 feet away. And as I turned and approached the hatch, My vision was skewed by a condenser unit, and when I saw the hatch again, I noticed no one was standing there anymore. I looked into the bell tower, and no one was in there. I asked my co-workers that were down at their vans at the time if anyone was up here, and they told me no. I think who I was seeing was Adolf Kors, who was an old beer mogul who had died unexpectedly on the sixth floor. Pretty crazy, huh? I've also been working in the Sea Hill Spa overnight due to them having guests during the day and have heard scratches from what I thought was a cat near where we were working on the unit in the ceiling and cold spots around where we were working. Obviously, the unit wasn't on, and it was in a spa that was heavily humid and hot at all times. Not sure why I felt that stuff, but it made me feel eerie about working there ever since.
Scratches for me? Nope. That's another no. I'm gone. Not doing it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I've done a lot of stuff in people's attics and multiple historical homes. And there's only been one time that I felt uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you hear anything, or was it just a vibe?
It was just a vibe. I mean, I never really heard anything.
Just vibing, like, with the demons?
No, like, it was weird. Like, they had a whole ass room, like a whole room in the attic.
Yeah.
In the hot ass attic.
Yeah. It's like, who are you keeping up here?
It was weird.
That is weird.
But, like, you
especially
could tell,
in Texas.
Yeah. But you could tell that that room had been there for what looked like at least a century.
I forget what they used to call those rooms, but when it used to be back in the day, they would have children, family members that were disformed or had special needs and were considered, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A disgrace to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And they would hide them and lock them in those rooms. And they would live in that room, not go outside or anything, be fed, everything in those rooms. And I can't remember what those rooms were called, but, like, it was a big thing back in the day.
That's messed up if that's what that was. But that room totally had a fucked vibe to it.
Yeah. And maybe they didn't have it that way, but maybe it was used that way. I don't know.
I mean, the people that had the room definitely didn't use it that way because it was empty.
Yeah.
They didn't use it at all. I told them about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, we've never really taken anything up there, but this winter when we do everything and take all of our stuff down, we're going to move everything from here and move it into that room. And I was like, man, that whole attic just had a weird vibe, and they're like, oh, yeah.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. This house is definitely – they told me it was haunted. The house was.
Creepy.
So, I don't know. It was a really weird house.
Yeah.
If y'all know what those rooms were for in East Texas, where it's hot and humid.
Yeah. Like, this week it's supposed to get, like, 105 or something like that.
Yeah.
I felt it today, walking from the office to...
Oh, I bet. You want me to continue with story two?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is story two. Now, you said this is the same guy?
No, this was a different guy that
seen...
This is a different guy that seen
the post.
And he's like, holy shit, I was there too, and this is my experience.
Wow, okay. So, this comes from another guy from Reddit. He found the original post and was trying to see if anyone had similar experiences he did recently. Ironically or unironically. He had a very unusual experience at the Cavalier involving the roof where some of the HVAC is located over the sixth floor. It was sometime between 8:30 a.m. and 8:40 a.m. on Friday morning. I was standing on the brick walkway facing east towards the beach. I was alone. There wasn't a lot of foot traffic around at the time. I looked back and up towards the hotel and saw a man standing on what I thought was the fifth or sixth floor balcony.
Which is where the other guy saw.
Which is where the other guy seen that, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He was staring down directly at me. I couldn't make out his face or what he was wearing, but it did seem like he may have had a black sweater or a black suit on. It almost resembled a black hoodie, possibly, from the distance. So, I mean, yeah, totally. From the ground to the sixth floor, you're not really going to be able to tell exactly what somebody's wearing. But
yeah, like the outline kind of...
Yeah, you might be able to. You might be able to kind of see if they're wearing a jacket or whatever, but you wouldn't really be able to tell too many details.
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy was looking at him intently, and he said it was an awkward stare. It wouldn't have been too surprising in the fact that I was the only one standing down there, and maybe someone was just looking down at me from the balcony. Which, yeah, of course, I guess that could have happened if somebody was up there, right?
Yeah.
But it was actually such a straight stare that I actually looked away for a few seconds. I let maybe 10 seconds go by before looking up again, and the figure was gone. That's creepy.
Yeah. Have somebody intensely staring at you, and then you look away like that awkward, don't look at me anymore. Mm. Is he still looking? Where'd he go?
that's definitely Friday the 13th-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
You look up, there he is, and you try to find another place, and he's gone. And you're like, oh, I'm safe, and he's right behind you.
Yeah.
Stabs you. Done. You lasted 30 seconds in a horror movie. So he goes on to say, I didn't think anything of it at the time, just that there was a guest up there looking out at the ocean, saw me down on the walkway below. The only thing that was unusual was the person's stare. It was pretty uncomfortable even given the distance, which, yeah, I can understand that. I don't like being stared at either.
No.
As I walked up to the doorman at the front of the hotel that was under the ledge where I saw the person, I asked if the guests were allowed to access the roof balcony. I thought it would be nice to go up there with my wife and look out at the ocean. He was confused by my question and stated there wasn't a roof balcony. I told him there was just a man up there, assuming that was a guest, and he said, you can't get out on the roof. A valet came out overhearing the conversation and said that only maintenance folks can get on the roof, which makes sense. I wouldn't think you'd want your guests on the roof anyway.
No, it would be a liability at that point.
A huge liability, yeah. There's no doubt that whoever was up there could have been a maintenance person. Yeah, absolutely. Could have been, but who knows? The more I read about some of the incidents happening in the hotel and seeing this post, the more I started to question what and who I actually saw. I looked up what a 1920s to 1930s bellman would have dressed as, and if the Cavalier staff wore all black with a black hat back then. I thought this may have been the fifth-story bellman some folks have written about. I just keep coming back to that stare down. Whoever was up there was fixated on me down below and not looking around whatsoever. It was enough of a stare to draw my attention up to the roof, which I had thought of as the balcony. It was piercing. The Cavalier. There's a lot going on there. You can feel it if you're aware of some of the backstory and other accounts by visitors that saw something or experienced something. I had a little bit of knowledge about the Cavalier being haunted. I even joked about it with my wife beforehand and said we'd walk from our reservation if they tried to assign us a room on the 6th floor. Yeah, I bet.
I'm done.
Yeah, I bet so. The fact that I may have actually experienced something there, though, especially after reading your story that you posted the day of, or nearly the day I experienced something from the roof, is unreal.
And that's what makes me think it's not just a service worker or something, because there's just two, like you said, multiple accounts of seeing this guy on there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's more otherworldly.
I think that's the end of that story. Because the next one says I worked in geriatrics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Creepy. Again, hotels. It's another one. You know, at some hotels, it's fine. But then you go to other hotels where, again, it's just a vibe, just a weird feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's like you go to a hotel and it's like the crappiest place you've ever seen. And there's like 17 different colors of paint on the wall, and then they're all like chipped off, and you wonder why.
Yeah. Okay, so.
That particular motel is in Jewett, Texas.
Jewett, Texas.
In case you were wondering, yeah.
Okay.
Avoid that one.
Avoid that one. 0 stars.
No, those are negative stars.
Negative stars. Well, this one, again, it's Reddit, and it says, there's probably some medical explanation for this, but still the weirdest thing that I have ever seen as a nurse so far. We had a very robust, confused old lady on our floor. Her room was in front of the nurse's station so we could keep an eye on her, and had one of our nurse's aides as a sitter, too. She was always fighting, kicking, trying to get out of bed. Very restless and agitated, as some patients I've had before can get before death. One day, we were called into her room as her heart rate was going down. She lay still with her eyes open. It was 30, 20, and then she flatlined. We checked for a pulse, did not find any. She was a DNR, so we did not attempt resuscitation. We closed her eyes, prepared her for the body bag, and we called the family. The sitter remains in there to start getting the body ready. Less than 10 minutes later, she calls us back in. The old lady is at it again. Hitting, kicking, trying to get out of bed. She came back to life. Honestly, we found the situation hilarious, and I still have never seen any patient come back like that on their own. I think she even made it out of the hospital, too. That would be terrifying. And, you know, Mom told me a story when she was, I can't remember if she was a nurse or nurse's aide or whatever, and she was taking a body down to the morgue, and the stretcher hit a bump, and it gasped, and she said she nearly crapped her pants.
Because she told me that story, too.
Yeah, she didn't realize that they expel air after they passed away. She's like, I was terrified.
And that reminds me, one time I was, I think it was when I first started doing air conditioning work. I was working at a place that was like an hour drive from the house. You remember it. I'm not going to say the name. It was the first place I worked at. And I had to do air conditioning at the morgue. Well, it wasn't the morgue. It was the funeral home, right? So I'm in there, I do all the preventative maintenance and all the other ones, and then they're like, oh, there's one more in here. I'm like, all right, you know, I go in there and walk into it, and it is literally the autopsy room. And the closet is in the back corner, and there's a body laying on the table right next to that closet.
Excuse me, can you move? Can you move that body before I have to go into that closet?
It was covered up with like a sheet or whatever. But I could still see the feet and the head.
Yeah.
Like, it was the most uncomfortable I have ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
But it was wild. I don't know how they can, I don't know who can do that job.
Yeah.
You got to be a special person to be able to deal with that.
Yeah. Definitely. Hats off.
Hats off, yep.
It takes all kinds of kinds to make our world go round.
It does.
Very interesting.
My turn again?
Yes.
I worked in geriatrics, or nursing homes, for years, so most of our patients died within a few years of being with us. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's always sad. Anyways, I had a new patient move into one of the rooms on my hall that my previous patient had just passed in. My new patient kept calling at night, saying that there was this woman who kept coming into her room and trying to talk to her. At first, I just passed it off as her being in her 90s and struggling with dementia. So I assured her that I would lock her door at night to make sure that no one could come in. After about a week of this continuing to happen, I sat down with her and was asking what this woman looked like, thinking she may just be hallucinating, her daughter, sister, somebody she knew. And she proceeded to tell me that this woman had a pink robe on with blue fuzzy slippers and her hair up in curlers. And the woman would come and sit at the foot of her bed, pat the new patient's feet, and try to talk to her, but she couldn't understand what she was saying. I almost pissed myself. The patient that I had in that room prior to my new one went to bed every night in her pink house robe, blue slippers, and her hair in curlers.
That would be terrifying.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Definitely terrifying.
That's a crazy story. But I can only imagine the things that you see in places like that just because of the amount of death that happens there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right, so this one's kind of an interesting one. It says, I'm a psychiatric nurse. Early in my career, I worked as a residential mental health facility. There was a resident I'll call Marion Duchene. He was an elective mute, which simply means that he didn't, wouldn't, couldn't talk, but there were no pathological findings as to why. He had spoken earlier in his life and, in fact, seemed quite normal back then, with the notable exception of being close to 7 feet tall. He'd been raised in the Deep South and joined the military when he was 19. After boot camp, he was stationed somewhere in the South, and one night, he just vanished. He was declared AWOL for years, and finally, he was declared missing and dead.
So you're telling me this 7 foot tall dude just up and disappeared?
Just wait. 10 years later, a 7 foot tall man walked into a VA hospital emergency room in my part of the Midwest and said to the receptionist, "My name is Marion Desheen, and I've been dead for 10 years.
Wait, what?
Those were the last words he ever spoke. He was covered with dust. He was wearing the same clothes that he had been reported to be wearing the night that he vanished. His social security number had not been used, and he had no identification on his person. However, they were able to identify him, I'm guessing through fingerprints, and he was well-fed and in good health, except for his refusal to speak. The family was notified, but they said they had already grieved their lost man and that whomever was claiming to be him simply could not be. They said he was a haint and a stand-in for their dead relative and demanded not to be contacted again." Marion paced all day every day, not in a frantic way, but just lumbering up and down the halls and outside. He smiled all the time and would be moving his mouth in a way that indicated talking or muttering. But he was dead silent. He had an unnerving habit of throwing his head back with his mouth wide open as if he were laughing heartedly, but not even a breath could be heard. If told to go to the dining room for a meal, he'd go and eat. But if nobody told him, he would just keep pacing, never indicating hunger. If offered a cigarette, he'd smoke it in an oddly formal way, almost delicately, if that makes sense. But he never seemed to crave smoking. The man wanted nothing. If I talked to him, he appeared to listen, periodically throwing his head back in laughter in the mimicking way of his. There was nothing to do for this man. Various medications were tried, but they did not affect him either positively or negatively. Occupational therapy did nothing because Marion would just grin, and unless told to stay put, he would just get up and start pacing again. On my last day at the job, on my way to something better, the last thing I saw was Marion pacing the parking lot, throwing his head back to laugh. Later, I wondered if all along I'd been dealing with a ghost, and all these years later, I still don't know.
Crazy.
Creepy.
That's insane.
Yeah. Weird. And again, missing persons that show up randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Completely fascinate me. I've read so many stories on those.
I've read a bunch of them too. That's maybe we should cover one of those.
Definitely.
We need to do that.
Yes.
It'd be fun to interview somebody like that.
Yeah. It would be.
I would love to hear a story from straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be ultimate goals here, guys.
Ultimate. So if you know somebody, let us know. Send them our way. You can email us at theguiltyandtheghostlypodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And check us out on our socials. And make sure to
like, follow, comment,
and subscribe. But apparently, you really need to hit that like button.
Apparently.
I just found out that the algorithm requires it.
Yep.
So the more you hit that like button, the more our name gets out there. Do you have another story? Or is this the final?
That's the final. Then I have Gary.
Okay. I've worked in a small family-run nursing home for 6 years as a nurse's aide. It was an orphanage before it became a nursing home, and unfortunately before being shut down, the orphanage had a history of severe abuse and neglect. That is such a sad, sad story.
Yes.
And that happens all too often, and our children should be safer than that.
Our children and our elderly should not have to worry about being abused because they are in a home.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not gossip. The owner herself has told us. When residents get close to death, they always see a little girl. One of my patients, a very alert gentleman, he knew all our names and was very alert and oriented. I was passing dinner trays and saw that he had his back turned and was talking and laughing in the corner. I knocked and asked him who he was talking to, and he chuckled and said, "This little girl came to my room. She was scared." He died 3 days later. About 6 months later, I had another patient screaming about a little girl grabbing his feet, and she needed to leave him alone. He died that night. She's come up over the years. It's always the same thing. They see her, and then they die. Other co-workers have had the same experience. It's extremely unsettling.
To me, it's not unsettling, though, because to me, I bet these elderly want nothing more than to see a happy little girl coming to say hi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that, too.
I see it as heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, but that one guy said that she wouldn't stop tickling his feet, so...
Tickle, tickle.
She was pestering him.
Which sounds like a little kid thing to do. You're bored. Yeah,
it does. But, like, you know, then you got to think about why is that girl there? And
yeah.
Abuse at the orphanage. And
well, I'm just taking that. We're not thinking about that.
Well, unfortunately, we have to.
Yeah.
We have to take that into consideration just because of what we do.
But again, I mean, maybe she had a rough life then, but she seems to be like, hey, I know you're fixing to kick the bucket, so let's be friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Could be heartwarming.
Could be. Could be a malicious tickler.
Malicious tickler. Tickler. Okay. So now I have a little sweet treat for you. Our buddy Gary D. from Ontario, Canada, sent us a story. I have not listened to this either, so I'm hearing it with you. All I know is it's work-related, and I'm guessing it has something to do with a phone. And it says ring, ring on it.
Okay.
Gary D. here in Ontario, Canada, with another one of my tales of demented terror. Back when I was in my early 20s, I landed the job as a sales rep for a local phone company, and I basically sold telephones and telephone systems, fax machines, things like that, to small, medium, as well as large businesses. And the customers that I dealt with, you know, were anywhere from small businesses, mom-and-pop operations, where there was only one or two people in the company. And I also dealt a lot with lawyers, doctors, folks that back then still had dial telephones, and we were basically trying to get them to upgrade to the newfangled push-button technology called touch tone. And a lot of these people, a lot of these businesses were set in their ways because they'd used the old type of dial phone for many decades, and it was hard for them to make the change to modern technology. Yeah, so I was going in to see these customers and discussing with them, and, you know, trying to convince them, saying, here are all the good reasons why you should go to a touch tone or push button phone as opposed to the old dial phone. And so I met a lot of different people in a lot of different businesses, a lot of interesting people. And one of the strangest things that ever happened to me was, I remember one time, you know, I'd go to their places of business and we'd sit down and discuss everything, and I'd bring a phone with me to show them what it looked like compared to the dial phone. And it was much lighter in weight, easier to use by pressing the buttons, and would be faster to use as well. But on one occasion, I had to go visit a location that was basically a meeting place, or a hall, as they called it, for Army vets, where they all got together and they're able to, you know, talk about old times, have a beer together, play darts, that type of thing. And this place had been around for a long time. I think it was ever since the end of World War II they'd had this thing set up. So it was a very old building. So everything was fine. I had my discussion with an elderly gentleman there, and he wasn't quite convinced about changing over to push-button phones from the dial. But you know, we discussed it, and he discussed it with somebody else there, and they finally gave the okay. And the phones that they had used, they had had for a very long time. And, you know, nowadays, telephones are, you know, plugged into a telephone jack. Back in the day, there were still phones, you know, in the 70s, even into the 80s, there were telephones that were old dial phones that were going directly into the wall, meaning there was no telephone jack. And it was called a 25-pair cable. So there was this thick cable with 24 pairs of connections in there, of wires, and it went directly in, wired directly into the wall, to the wall socket. So I got the okay, and I remember being down in the basement of this Army vet hall, and a very dingy, dark area. I think they had a couple of pool tables, ping pong table, a few dart boards, a little bar set up, and must have had a lot of interesting conversations in regards to, you know, their times fighting in the war, talking about family, talking about, you know, a million different things. But what was strange is that after they had finally discussed it and they finally gave the go-ahead that they were going to make the change over, I had, because I was a sales rep, I had one of the techs from the phone company go there, and they went and basically removed all of the dial phones. And these were the old type of clunky phones. And he removed them all, basically ripped them right out of the wall. And so they had these thick cables attached to them. And he had, I think there was, they had four telephones, because they had the basement and they had the main floor. So either four or five of these phones, and he had put them in an old cardboard box, and he had just left them on site because they were going to be bringing the push-button phones, and they were going to be installing jacks in the wall for them to plug them into and then give them a little training session. But I had gone there again. I had been called in to discuss this with the gentleman again, and he had a few questions. And knowing that I was going out there, the technician asked whether I could pick up that box of old dial phones that were all disconnected and with the cords wrapped all around them. So after I spoke with the gentleman and answered his questions, he said, just, you know, the box of phones is down in the basement. Go ahead, go into the basement, flip on the light switch and grab those and have a good day. So when I went down into the basement, flicked the light switch on, I went down there alone. There's nobody else down there. And I looked around looking for this box of phones. And I didn't see it at first, but what was quite peculiar and disturbing and a little unsettling was I heard a telephone ringing. And it was the way these old dial phones would ring, it was a metal bell being hit with a clanger or whatever you want to call it. So the phone was ringing, and I'm thinking, okay, the technician forgot to unplug one of the telephones. So I went down and I looked around. I just followed the sound of that bell ringing, that phone ringing, and I went and found the box. And the ringing was coming from one of the phones that had been removed from the wall. That 25-pair cable had been ripped out of the wall, so it was not plugged in. And I'm thinking, how the hell is this phone even ringing? So it was ringing and ringing. So, you know, I unwound the cord that was wrapped around it, and I picked up the handset, a very heavy, clunky handset. And just for fun, I went, hello, hello. And there was static on the line, just a crackling of static. And that I heard that for maybe not very long, maybe 5 or 6 or 7 seconds. And I think that was bizarre. Why would that phone even ring? Because it wasn't plugged in. It made no sense. Why would there be static on a phone that isn't plugged in? So I took those phones and carried that box out and basically put them in the back seat of my car. And it was late in the day, so I wasn't going back to the office. I was driving home. And by this point, it was starting to get dark. So I drive home, and on the way home, wouldn't you know it, I hear that phone ringing again. And it's not like when you hit a bump and maybe that clangor just hits the bell, but it was actually ringing. So I reached back and grabbed the phone, and it was the same phone. I could tell because the other ones were all tightly wrapped up with their cords. This one, I just loosely wrapped around it after, you know, picking it up the first time. So again, I grabbed that phone. I picked up the handset and picked it up again, listened, and I heard just the crackling of static for like 5 seconds. And then it was dead. So that was very bizarre. And even after that, for years, I ended up keeping that one phone. I had to sign a release with the phone company because they were going to be destroying all of these phones anyways. Because it was old technology, they had no use for it. They weren't going to be sending them to third world countries. So just for fun, because it was so strange, I asked if I could have that phone. And they said, no problem. Management said, as long as you sign this release and you get it. So I got it, and then I ended up having a technician from the phone company basically rewire it for me. So they removed that 25-pair cable and put in a regular thin cord with a jack at the end so it could plug into the wall. And that phone actually worked. You would dial the big dial, pick up the big, heavy, clunky handset, and you could actually make phone calls. And over the years, a lot of times I ended up putting that phone in the basement. I had it plugged in for a while, and sometimes I would hear it ringing when someone called. And then I ended up just removing it at some point and putting it into a box and putting it to storage in my basement. And many times in the middle of the night, I could hear that metallic bell ringing in the basement of that phone. And I still have that phone to this day. I have it sitting in my basement. It's not plugged in, but it does work. And I'm just wondering why there's that static on the line, why that phone was ringing in the first place. It's kind of a neat thing, but doesn't rationally make any sense why a telephone that's not plugged in would even ring.
Gary, I have to say, I would not be keeping that phone.
Gary, I want that phone. I want that phone right here on my wall.
That would actually be really cool. How much is it to ship from Canada?
I don't know, but that would be cool if people could send us like haunted items for our decoration.
No. Not only no, but hell no.
Oh, come on. Don't be scared.
We don't want haunted items.
Yes, we do.
But it would be really cool to get a picture of that phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's creepy. The only thing that would make it creepier is if there was a voice on the other end. Or maybe not. Just the static is kind of...
Kind of
spooky.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy.
Cool story, Gary.
Loved it, cool. Gary. Can't wait for next month so we can play another one. I love his stories.
I do, too. Well, there's a way to tell them that just creates the entire story.
Yeah.
You have a gift, sir.
Well, that is all we have for this week. For Sinister Submissions. Don't forget, we love to keep doing this. Please send us your stories. Anything from ghostly, paranormal, cryptids, UFOs, true crime adjacent, dark family secrets. I love the tea.
Yep. Send us your best and your worst.
Send it all. So I guess that's all we have for now. Join us next week for the Guilty Confess.
And the Ghostly. Never rest.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Sinister Submissions.